Larry Baldassaro interviewing Mike Socha, April 29, 1998, County Stadium.
Do you think of yourself as part of any tradition in baseball or as Italian American? Do you identify yourself ethnically as an Italian?
Well, absolutely. So, I do. In fact, I had a chance to go to Italy this offseason for the first time. That was quite an experience for me.
And
the Argentina game baseball
for
you.
Where'd you been?
In Milan and Bergamo.
Yeah.
Oh, that was interesting. But I'm really a second generation. My grandparents were born in Italy, but my parents were born here in this country.
All four grandparents?
Yes. And so I was growing up in the normal traditions, of a big family, big Italian family, and had a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles and everything. So that was quite an experience. And although my parents spoke Italian, they didn't want to pass it on to us. They spoke English to us. So
okay,
never learned a language.
You think that's because they wanted you to become American?
So much, I think it was.
Did they speak Italian to each other?
They spoke Italian to each other.
Yeah.
But their native tongue was American, because they were born here.
So your grandparents?
My grandparents, all four of my grandparents spoke Italian, but all my mom and dad and all my aunts and uncles were born here.
Okay.
So they learned English first, and then, well, actually Italian first, but, school, they learned English was their native language.
Do you know where your grandparents were from?
My mom's family was from Abruzzo.
No kidding.
And my dad's family was from Naples.
No, this is weird. My mother was born in Abruzzo.
Where's he?
And my father's father was from east of Naples, the province of Avellino.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather was born right in Naples.
Right in the city?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I know you guys.
So now when you went over, did you get the visit?
No, I only had 6 days, so... And they were mostly taken up in Northern Park, around Milan and Bergamo, just to do baseball clinics. And I got to visit Milan, the city I got to visit was extensively. Went to what's the cathedral's name? Duomo,
right?
Yes. And it's all the Scala and all the all the history there and
first
the Galleria. Yeah, first time I was there, so we had a great time.
Was that a choice of going to Italy or?
Yep.
Yeah.
Italian Baseball Federation. We called. We're very close with our own Peter O'Malley, and
is that right?
And they called and asked if someone would be interested in coming over. They asked about myself because I'm Italian and so on. Went over in the end of January.
Were you working with the Italian professionals?
Yes, the coaches. All the
coaches.
Professional
okay.
coaches and amateur coaches.
Okay. What was your impression?
Well, they're really it's kind of a growing grassroots consciousness of baseball, and the people that are interested in baseball have a passion for it. Maybe not quite what likes they do soccer, and it's obviously not as it's not as wide as far as it's not as widespread as and the popularity of soccer. It never will be in England, but I think the groundswell of the interest of baseball is pushing their program very rapidly to where they should be. I think they won the European Championships a couple times, and they should, within a decade, should be able to compete with a lot of the Asian teams. And I think... athletics are a big part of the Italian culture, and kids grow up playing soccer.
Right.
Developed athletic ability would easily translate to baseball. If you want to the movements of shortstop or center fielder, they're very athletic, much like soccer. I think that the raw talent is there. It's just imagine directing it into getting the guys that are playing baseball, the younger age. There's one kid, an outfielder signed with the Seattle Mariners organization that's playing professionally in this country. That's from Italy.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I think that you're going to see in the next 10 years, you'll see more kids show promise, getting a chance to play here in the United States, which is really the proving ground to the world. Is our system here, minor leagues here, to the major leagues? Because now the major leagues are as international as it ever has been. So you're getting the best talent, not from the U.S., but just U.S., Canada, and maybe the Latin country. You get the whole world there.
So you didn't get to see anybody actually playing, or you just worked with the coaches?
Just working with the coaches, yeah.
I was in Bologna. I went to school right back in the late 60s, and they already had a professional team there.
Right.
But in those schools, it was pretty rough-edged. It was like maybe a college team here, and I was
right.
Progressed along the since then.
They have. I think, you know, their professional leagues came to Vero Beach this year, they played our lowest level rookie league team.
So they sent a team over?
They sent a team over. The Italian national team came.
I didn't know that.
And they came, they had a whole tour through Florida. They played, I think, I can't remember what cities they played, but they stopped and they played in Vero Beach. But they played probably two dozen games, for a couple of weeks through Florida touring and playing with a lot of the professional clubs, maybe their main level team, their minor league run. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I should get more information on Italian Day today. It's been a couple of years since I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time since I've been able to follow with baseball, but I know
right.
It's growing, and I know a lot of American.
Well, do you know Aldo Notari, who is the head of the Italian Baseball Federation? That would be your contact.
Okay.
If you're going to be here tomorrow, I can leave a number with our with clubhouse guy, Dave here. His name is Aldo, A-L-D-O. Notari, Notari.
Mm-hmm. In Rome?
No, I believe he's in Parma.
Oh, in Parma. Okay.
I believe he was in Parma.
Is he president of
the IBF? He's the president of the IBF, the Italian Baseball Federation.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd like to get in touch.
So I don't know if you can look up that number somewhere. I have a card, or a card, I believe, in a hotel. I'll try to get a number for you.
Great.
I'm sure he'd be happy, interested to talk to you.
Okay. Now, about you, your own career, when you were growing up, did you think you were ball players as Italian-American, Joe DiMaggio or anything like that, or is that just not a part?
You know, my dad did. He goes, he's Italian, or he's talked about that, and I didn't know. But I can't really say that, when you're a kid and you're in all of baseball,
so when I feel
proud of Johnny Bench because he was a catcher, and I was a catcher, so I wasn't really, didn't really correlate with how I was looking, a guy who was Italian. I think it just probably reflects the melting pot that the United States is, where if you look at a kid that was any other nationality, I'm not sure if they would say if he was Irish or
not anymore
German or whatever. Not like it was, I think, my dad's generation, where, he's been first generation Italian. His country is really identified. So, and I grew up, because where I grew up, my friends were German and Irish, and, it wasn't wasn't an Italian ethnic neighborhood.
The same with me.
Yeah. Right. It was more of a diverse culture, which was great. I think it adds a lot to your personality and understanding, everything is in one way, whether it's Italian, whether it's Irish,
right.
Whether it's, Catholic, Jewish, whatever. So I think it's good in a sense. And I do have pride in being Italian. It's a great culture, and and going to Italy really revitalized that feeling to see the way these people, they enjoy the lifestyle, the way they live, the way they interact. I mean, you go to dinner at 8 o'clock at night, which is unheard of here, and you eat until 11:30.
Right.
You know, it's a big party every night.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. Not just I was there. I mean, we talked to some of the locals. They told us where their style is. They invited us over. We didn't have time to go there. It was like you went, you ate, and every night was a feast. As far, but I think what was lost is the cultural exchange might be lost in this country the way they do it. Because there, you always ate as a group.
Mm-hmm.
The families ate together, and it was an event. And we talked, from the grandparents on down, we talked, and it was, it was a way really, it was just foreign to communicate.
Exactly.
Which in our life, which in our culture, it's like, you eat because it's something
that's getting through.
Yeah, you go, and you just, that's all I want to see later, you go on to do other stuff where.
It does open your eyes.
It does.
And a different lifestyle.
And the way they, I guess it's the best that they don't work, they don't live to work. They work to live. So they, you know, they do their work and they're passionate about it. You know, they want their little downtime from 12 to 2 in the afternoon, you know, where stuff closes up or whatever. And then they go hard at night from 8 till midnight. And I mean, it was great to see the interaction. You know, like hugging and kissing is the way you greet people.
Right? You don't walk down the street arm in arm.
Right. You know, it's, no, not here. You know, and it's I think that really opened my eyes to some things. And I think, you know, probably because the culture's been around a lot more than, you know, U.S., you've only been here for 200 years. I mean, there, you know, we still have a cathedral. Rome was built like 1310. Right? It's, you know, 600 years later.
People have been doing this, having this lifestyle for not only a couple centuries, but, you know, almost a millennium.
Right.
Probably more than a millennium. So, I mean, there's something to say for that. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, maybe they're doing something that's mm-hmm. a fabric in their culture that isn't an art.
That's right. Every time I go back, mm-hmm. I'm reminded all over again of what I miss when I'm here. And
right.
I tell myself, it's so hard to do that here. It's so hard to live that lifestyle.
Well, it is.
And when you're there, you realize
there's something to it.
Well, there is something to it. I think that part of that culture was something that I was very proud that my heritage was from.
Yeah.
And I think to a certain extent, you can take some of that experience back here with you. And I have two young kids. And, you know, now when you sit down at dinner and they're starting to, you know, my kids are 9 and 6, so it's not like the whole Ukraine conversation. But, right, but at least you're talking and you're saying, you know, if something simple like, what do you want to do today? You know, hey, you're using dinner as a way to communicate. Or, and hopefully, you know, 10 years from now, when they're going through the teen years and other problems arise, I still have that same forum to help them. And it's, you know, I was really impressed with that. I really was. I was really impressed with the culture, the way they eating, and, you know, everyone kind of laughs at it being, you know, an event, but it's an event for a reason. I think it's just a forum for...
It's not just eating food. Yeah, they take great pleasure in that, but it's a forum for...
That was the first time I was there, I really witnessed it. I mean, we were going to... It was my wife got to come with me, it was our anniversary. And we were going to go out and say, you know, we said, well, let's make some reservation for 6:30, you know. And the people who were locals there looked at it and said,
nothing growing.
No, they said, well, that's too early, not going to really want you there that early. We said, what's it mean? So we ended up eating it at 8.
And this is up in Millar.
No, this is in Berg
that's still.
Yeah.
Go to South and play later.
They went to this little restaurant. And the influence of the cooking was more Northern Italian, more
right.
French. Because when you sit down, they serve your croissant and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, thinking, well, at first I was leery. Said, I don't know if this is the right restaurant because I wanted to go to authentic Italian. And it ended up being totally Italian. I mean, authentic. But it had the influence from Northern Italian. Right. But in the corner was the owner. Came over, sat, talked to us in his broken English, and we're in the United States, wanted this, anything we could do. And this is a packed restaurant. He did this with every table. Then he went over and had his own party of about 8 of his friends and locals, and they would sit there and drink and talk all night. And I, you know, I asked our waiter, and he said, oh, every night he's like that. You know, that's the way he, that's his business is entertaining. He sits there with his friends, they eat, comes around, talks to all the people. His table is always open, you know, for friends to come and sit down. And
are you aware of an Italian history in baseball? Are there any, the obvious Joe DiMaggio?
Well, I think the stories you hear, like Joe Gagliola and Yogi Berra, who grew up together in the little Italian area in St. Louis, by Hill. Yeah. So you hear stories about that. You hear stories about them growing up and. You know, my dad could relate to it because he was the same generation. They used to talk about the traditions of the Italian, you know,
right.
And, you know, the pasta on Wednesday and Sunday. They would talk about, you know, what
the spaghetti did.
Right. And so, you know, that was, I mean, little things like that were interesting. But, you know, I can't really say when I was a kid I was drawn to Italian ball player because, you know, I was really first generation with TV really exploded on the scene. And, you know, I was born in 58, so by the time I was 16. You know, 1965 or 66, when TV really was starting to get influential with Game of the Week and things like this, I was, I was at a very impressionable age. So I was
I had the exposure of every baseball player that they would carry, you know, up to. And so, you know, it wasn't like, oh, this guy, you look at Boxford and say, oh, this guy's Italian, like that used to do. For some radios. It was like I saw a catcher on TV who was Johnny Bench, you know, and I was going like, wow, he's unbelievable. You know, it was...
Well, I'll tell you, I'm older than you are, but I was the same way as a kid. My name was Ted Williams.
Right.
I hated Joe Concho because I grew up in Massachusetts.
So you're right.
I didn't care if he was Italian.
Right. I never really had a conscious effort to say that guy's an Italian.
I think that's generational.
Right, I think it is. My dad certainly did.
See,
my
what dad about certainly... players, like, I hope I can have a chance to talk to Piazza. Does he have a sense of Italian?
Oh, yeah, because of his sweet relationship. The guy you should really talk to is Joe Napolitano.
Oh, sure.
He's our coach. Joe is... He grew up in an era of, I think his dad was a fisherman, San Pedro. Joe,
really?
His dad was born in Italy. So Joe's a great person.
Lucero interviewing Mike Socha, May 13, 2016, Miller Park, Milwaukee.
Well, you've had success both as a player and as a manager, obviously, three World Series combined. Has one of those two aspects of your career given you, say, more personal satisfaction than the other?
Yeah, I think the longer you're in this game, you understand how important the process is and getting that right. And, you know, you always dream that it's going to lead to the opportunity to get to a World Series. And I think that's the ultimate goal because that's the, I think that's what this game's about. It's a team game. Whether you're, on the team playing or you're on the team managing with coaches, and to be part of it is, to be part of it is really, it's been a blessing. And like I said, I think that once the process is where it needs to be, hopefully that the talent will get you to your goal.
When did you first start thinking about becoming a manager?
Not until I was done playing, and really, I was doing catching instruction in the minor leagues, and very happy doing that. I loved it. That's really within this game. That's my passion, is the catching position.
Sure.
I got a chance to manage a little bit. As far as running a game in the instructional league, then I went to the fall league, and then when I managed in AAA in 1999, I felt like I really wanted to try to give it a shot if I could get an opportunity anywhere.
Pretty long shot. I mean,
yeah.
Longevity.
Yeah, well,
in this long profession.
A long shot on both ends, but I've been here for a while. Yeah.
So, what do you think is the most challenging part of being a manager?
I think there are so many, there's so many things that come into, building a team, a championship caliber team. I think the biggest thing, I think the thing I know I put the most attention to is building the environment of having guys feel like they can play the game aggressively and relax and let their talent come out on the field. And that environment, I think it begins with the chemistry you have with the guys in the clubhouse. It begins with how you practice the game. It continues with how you practice the game. And definitely the way, you want to put the components together to try to win a ball game and hopefully reach a goal of a championship. So I think that environment is very, very important, and I think not only myself but our coaches, we pay a lot of attention to that. You really have to set those expectations to win, in your team, and that you know, your goal is to get to a World Series every year.
So when you were coaching, you could focus on one thing, teaching catchers, which is what you did. But as a manager, you've got so many more. You have media, you've got players, a bit of strategy, you've got upper management. That's a lot of stuff to deal with.
You know, it's I think it goes with the position, but, you know, I mean, once the game starts, it's still back. I'm still looking at that pitcher, that catcher relationship. There are other things on the field, other guys to look at, but that's the thing that I know is extremely important, and you want to focus it on that to control the defensive end of the game. As far as all the peripheral things outside of what you do in a dugout when a game starts, it's all important, but it's, you know, but I think it's just a matter, you know, I think it's just a matter of, you know, as far as like the media, it's all about baseball. So whether you're talking baseball or you're teaching baseball, it's something that we have a passion for, so it comes naturally to us.
I'm guessing you've always had a passion for the game since you were a kid.
Yeah, I loved all sports as a kid. I grew up just outside of Philadelphia and always playing sports. You know, it was a big part of our life. It was a big part of we loved following the Philadelphia sports teams. There was a cultural, it was just a part of the culture that, you know, you were passionate about, whether it was whatever team was playing, whatever season it was, you were passionate about that sport. And that's, I mean, my friends, we play baseball through August, and we pick up a football, then we would pick up a basketball, and then, you know, it might be a little hockey mixed in, and you picked up a baseball again. But that was what it was about. There was a strong athletic culture in the area I grew up in, and so, you know, I was passionate about, you know, pretty much all sports.
I grew up in Western Mass, and it was the same thing for us. And whatever was in season, and you played it all day, and until you got a little older, it wasn't structured.
Right.
You just went out and played, and he played all the time. So,
oh, no doubt. I think it was a blessing. We were pre-video game generation.
Yeah.
We would play some board games here or there, but for the most part,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we were outside. Snow didn't bother us. We were outside in the snow playing football. We were outside shooting baskets in a light rain. It didn't matter what our basketball court.
And your parents weren't afraid to let you out of the house.
No, they were. They loved it. They loved the fact that, you know, just, well, I don't know, you know, it was just the way things were. You know, you didn't sit in the house and watch TV. You just didn't even, you know, you did your homework. You worked hard. You got ready for if you had a test. You know, you had to apply yourself in everything you did, including your academics. So along those lines, there was no misunderstanding about what the things that were important and what you had to, you know, what you had to apply yourself on. And you know, sitting around watching TV was not going to be in the program.
Hell, there wasn't TV when I was really young.
Yeah,
I'm older than you, but I think, you know, we shared that same kind of freedom, and very fortunate. I think they grew up at a time like that.
No, no doubt. It was a different world. I grew up in a, very, very middle class, at the best middle class. But it was, you always felt safe. There was crime around you, but you never sensed it. I mean, we would leave our doors unlocked. You would, you know, this was. It wasn't like we were out in the country. I mean, we're it was right outside of Philadelphia, so it was, you know, populated, we'd get up in the morning and 9 o'clock, we'd meet down, just choose teams and play until play until 4 in the afternoon. You know, we put like quarter in our pocket to go get a soda or a candy bar at the 5 and 10, which was right next to the school we used to play. We just play baseball, you know, and your parents knew where you were and they knew you'd be home, and there was never an issue. So I think, like you're saying, I think that kind of, I think when you're in that environment, it gives you a great sense of discipline in your life. Meaning, you know, you didn't have the freedom, but you also knew that there was responsibility that came with that freedom.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a great time to grow up.
What is your dad be?
My dad passed away, but he worked in sales with a beer distributor.
Okay.
My mom taught school, so they both worked.
Well, I remember when we spoke, you said that your mom's family is still Abruzzo, which is where my mom was born.
Yep.
Your dad's family was some mate.
That's right.
My dad's family was 30 miles east in Albarino.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think the culture of my dad and my mom, and my mom and dad spoke Italian because their parents really was their primary language, and they were trying to learn, like they came over to this country trying to learn English, and my mom and dad were born when my grandparents weren't over here very long, so their focus was to have my mom and dad, you know, and I think every first generation Italians that came over was to learn English and get assimilated into this country, and so there was less Italian spoke as my mom and dad were growing up, and more English. But they could speak Italian, but like when we were born, no Italian was spoken. My, you know, grandparents, I wish they had passed it down to us, were spoken some Italian to us. But the curriculum was they learn the language of where you're living, so they had to learn English.
Turn back to managing for a minute. Did you have mentors along the way as you were starting out? Somebody you admire, somebody that helped you?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think, you get inspired from all different areas, and not necessarily guys that were, some of my biggest lessons came from guys that weren't managers in the major leagues, but I learned so much about baseball from guys like Del Crandall, Johnny Roseboro, and Roy Campanella. And just being around those baseball minds, instructed me on catching. But one thing about Roy Campanella is I learned more about life than I did baseball just talking to him. I mean, he was in a wheelchair, for the time I met him. He'd been in a wheelchair for over 20 years, and never even spoke of it. It didn't slow him down to doing anything that he needed to do. And he would talk about baseball, but how it related to your life, and how if you really believe you could play, then you have to apply yourself, you have to practice hard, and you become the player you can be. And because the lessons always stuck with me, even as you cross over into coaching and managing, to understand how important that mentoring is to young kids. It's extremely important.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, sort of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no doubt. Yeah, Tommy, Tommy was the only manager I played for, and I mean, no doubt that watching him and playing for him, and you absorb so many things. And sometimes it's things like, gosh, he's, we all know about that viewpoint, but he's really believes in it. So, something must be some merit to it. To some things you learn and you go, wow, that's really going to be important, to what you need to put into a team, particularly the environment. So, yeah, I've been, I'm very blessed to be around guys that, whether it was an active role or even a subtle role, that I was around people that really, understood the game at the grassroots level, and it gives you a foundation to learn more about this game and keep growing with it. That's the biggest thing I've learned over 17 years doing this is you need to hear ideas. You need to evolve, and sometimes it's a slow process in some areas, and sometimes something it's really quick where you know you can apply it and you get better and you do that. So it's just a matter of absorbing information. And I was fortunate at a young age, like we talked about, to be around some guys that they're willing to share it.
Have you met anybody in baseball who's more Italian than Tom Lasorda?
Yeah, I've met my share. You know, Joe Malfitano, who's from San Pedro, and I met a lot of you know, Italian Americans who work in the game of baseball. Most of them are first generation. You know, I was second generation. But there's a there's no doubt about I think all of us embracing the culture of our ancestors and understanding it, and also understanding the reasons why they came to this country, and understanding that the privilege that we have to come to such a great place and have the opportunity that we have, you can't take that for granted.
And I published that book that you signed. I dedicated it to my four immigrant grandparents for their gift of opportunity.
That's it. That's exactly what it is. That's what it is. And I think, so, you know, I mean, much like I think anyone that comes from any country that migrates to the United States, the reasons are usually there's a common theme to the reasons, and it comes down to opportunity. And I just know that, you know, I'll never take that for granted as far as understanding, even my mom and dad talk about it, just the opportunity they had as kids to, you know, my mom had a chance to go to college. It would never happen if she was in Italy. If their grandparents hadn't come here, my dad had his own business, and it would never happen, if he was in Italy. And they understood that at a young age, because, you know, I always hear, you know, your grandparents always telling the stories. You know, even though they loved Italy, there was a reason why that they migrated here.
Yeah, they had to.
Yep.
When you were a catcher, you were known to be the best guy to block home plate.
Right.
So I'm curious, what do you think about the rule changes that have occurred recently?
You know, I really think some are going to be beneficial. Probably 50 years from now, they'll look at it as like, God, they played the game, you know, they, before they had, you know, the game we grew up, but they were doing this, and it was, at times, you can think about it being barbaric, you know. I don't think there's, you know, it's the way I grew up, like we're talking about it. When I grew up in Philadelphia, every catcher I ever saw, it was a badge of honor to make a play at the plate.
Sure.
And you blocked the plate with the thought of helping your team save a run, and so I think it's just some osmosis. It just kind of got into me. This is the way you make the play at the plate, and you bring it up all the way through your professional career and then in the major leagues, and that's just what we grew up with. Obviously, you had different guidelines of how you can make the play when I played that are enacted now. But I think in the spirit of the play, some of the changes are good, and I think that it'll be an afterthought once kids kind of grow up with this.
Well, tell me if I'm wrong, but sometimes when I'm watching a game, especially on TV, It seems to me that the catcher, in order not to block the plate, is standing a little bit too far up, and then when he gets to throw,
that's part of the guidelines of your new play. You definitely have to have the ball in your possession before you can be in that lane.
Yeah.
And it will open up. It's going to open up more opportunities for guys to score because the tag is going to be harder to apply, no doubt. So, like the timing of plays is going to be rewritten a little bit because of that. You know, the tag differential of when you have the ball and you get the tag on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is increased now because of the guidelines. So, it will rewrite some of the timing of plays. Yes.
I know this is a bit of a cliche, but it's truth to it that so many catchers go on to become managers. And as you see the whole game unfold, is that the reason?
Well, I think if you go just position by position, yeah. But if you go as far as catchers that manage and other players, other position players that manage, position players and pitchers far outnumber catchers that manage.
You can't say
a guy was a second baseman and this guy's a shortstop. Well, they're infielders and they're managers. You got to put them in a group. And I just know the one thing that I know from an early state of being a catcher that I think every catcher absorbs is that pitcher-catcher relationship and the understanding of game plans and working a pitcher and the understanding of how a pitcher is the biggest part of your defense. So that pitcher-catcher relationship is extremely important. And I think the early introduction that you have as a catcher is helpful, but it's nothing that guys that didn't catch don't understand to get up to speed on. It's just as a catch, you've learned it earlier, but it's not. I don't think it's any great advantage. It's just you might be just a little ahead in that part, but it's nothing that guys that didn't catch don't understand the pitching theory and stuff like that.
So it's not just that catchers are naturally more intelligent, but.
I'd love you to say that, but I can't attest to that.
You have the so-called tools of ignorance.
That's right. No doubt.
Just thinking about what you said about Campanella and other guys like that. I mean, that's a great sense of the game.
It's great. Great. Yeah, I think there's the guys that talk to me had a great feel for the game, and I think that helped me to relax and play. And that's what I try to infuse into our players because, especially now, which is even different than when I played. Now there is so much analytical data that is available that you have to be very conscious how you meld it and give it to a player. I know those guys. When I was young and I was getting into the major leagues, I was 21 and not a lot of experience as far as, obviously playing the big leagues. But putting a game plan together and talking with the pitcher, and this was drummed into me for 4 years. So when I got there, I had an understanding of it, but also the support of guys saying, hey, you're going to figure this out. Go out there, relax and play baseball. But I think that's important.
I asked you if you had mentors, but clearly, as a manager, you've been a mentor to several people who've gone on to manage.
I don't know if I've been a mentor. These guys are all great baseball minds in their own right, but being around the guys that were on our early staff here, and I've gone to manage Joe Madden and Buddy Black and Ron Renicki, these guys, we learned so much, just all of us just sitting there and peeling the paint off of the game and just talking about things and talking about teams and situations and what was important. And they, it was a great experience for me.
Do you think players tend to talk less among themselves about the game itself than when they were playing?
No.
No.
I've heard some analysts say that or some guys say that. We talk the game baseball quite a bit. We talked about, we also talked about, you know, movies and restaurants and real life things, and that's the bond that is in that clubhouse. I think our guys, it's great baseball discussion our guys love.
Even today among the young guys. Of all the young Italian Americans, the younger generation that I've talked to, the one who struck me as having the greatest sense of his identity, et cetera, is Mike Piazza.
Yeah, I think Mike's story, he's another East Coast guy. He's very strong in, his family. He understands his culture. He understands the heritage. He understands, I think he's, his dad was very successful. Was a first generation Italian coming over. And Mike's, I know he's very appreciative for all the opportunities he's had here, and he's obviously made the most of it.
So just to sum up, what would you say that baseball has meant to your life?
Well, I'm very blessed to do something I love, but baseball's not my life. Baseball is something I have a passion to do. I love it. But, when you talk about comparing baseball to your family, comparing baseball to your heritage, comparing baseball to, other your faith, it takes a back seat. Baseball has provided me with every opportunity and giving me an opportunity to have a great life, but, you have to have that life. You have to have that foundation. And that's something I've been blessed to be able to have, and it makes all this worthwhile. When you have something that you can show why you've done all this.
I suppose your kids were pretty young, as I recall.
Yeah. What, they college? 27. Yeah, graduated college.
Yeah,
they're 27 and 24, and. My son graduated from the University of Notre Dame, and he played 3 years of minor leagues, and now he's working out in California. And our daughter is just graduated from her master's degree from LMU, and she's got a job doing great. So, so the kids are doing great, 31 years of marriage, and he's still going strong. So, for you, that's it.